Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Your success in real estate is going to come down to some few critical things. One of the biggest things are the relationships you have. And today, we're going to talk about finding, vetting, and thriving with a mentor on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Stop for a moment. Why are you listening to this show? Are you dreaming of a bigger, brighter financial future? More personal freedom to live life on your own terms? What if there was just one skill that could make it happen? There is. Sales. Robert Kiyosaki says every entrepreneur must be good at sales. It's true for investors too. Sales is how you attract money, people, and opportunities. Sales is the skill used to negotiate deals and lead your team. Sales skills are essential to success. The good news is, it's a learnable skill. The great news is, we've created a two-day interactive workshop to teach those skills to you. Make plans today to attend How to Win Funds and Influence People, Mastering the Art of Financial Selling. For dates and details, send an email to sales@realestateguysradio.com or visit realestateguysradio.com and look under events. Gain the skills you need to succeed. Email sales@realestateguysradio.com or look under the events tab at realestateguysradio.com.
Hungry for more real estate investing ideas? Here's two steps you can take today. First, go to realestateguysradio.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get access to a continuous feed of thought-provoking commentary specifically for real estate investors, while also focusing on broader picture economics. Then, once you're at our site, look for the Resources tab, where you'll find our amazing collection of special reports. Browse dozens of white papers, webinars, and market reports, and request the ones that appeal to you. What are you waiting for? Head to realestateguysradio.com to implement education for effective action. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gregg.
Hey, Robert.
You know, if you tuned in last week, you heard our Ask the Guys show. A lot of great questions from listeners. And we ended the show with a great question from a gentleman who was wondering about finding a mentor. And it was such a good question. We thought, you know, let's do a show about that. Because I can tell you that Russ and I both would not have the level of success that we've had in our lives, in business, and personally, without input from folks that we consider mentors. And it's a people business. It's a relationship business. You've heard us talk for years about that. Sure, you got to know numbers. Yeah, you got to analyze markets. Of course, you got to understand property, but you got to find teams, and teams are people. And one of the critical members of your team is someone you call a mentor.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, if you do it right, you're going to have a bunch of them, and you'll have them concurrently, and you'll have them over a lifetime. If you really look at human history and human development over the years, this concept of classroom learning, of getting together in groups, of studying things the way we tend to think about learning today, that's really not the way people learn. You know, if you think about the way you learned your native language, your culture, many of your basic skills in life, you learned that by growing up in a family. And your parents were your very first mentors. They were the ones that showed you by their example and also by their coaching how to live and how to accomplish things in your life. And so that process really should never end. You should always have people in your life who are further down the path. They don't have to be older than you, but it's important that they're more experienced than you and successful in whatever it is that thing that you're trying to master. Of course, in this case, we're talking about real estate investing, but in the context of real estate investing, there is a whole lot of other things that make that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned that we have kind of serial mentors and mentors at different parts of our life. In real estate, you know, there are times when you need specific experience and can seek out a trusted advisor, and you'll need that. You know, it's been said that people come into our lives for a reason, or for a season, or for forever, depending on the folks. And as you continue to grow your real estate portfolio, your experience, the types of properties and markets you're in, you're going to be attracted to people that can help. And this is one of the great things about real estate. We say investing is a team sport. You're going to be the driver. You're the executive producer. You're the person who's got the vested interest in it. But the role of a mentor is a little bit evasive and vague sometimes, and yet it's a critical, critical role. And so I think maybe we start with, you know, I just for fun looked up the definition of a mentor, and as a noun, it's an experienced and trusted advisor. And some of the synonyms are a guide, a confidant, a counselor, a consultant. as a verb to advise or train someone, especially a younger colleague. So I'll agree that a mentor doesn't have to be older than you, but most of my mentors have been, just because that's what's given them the experience and the perspective to be able to speak meaningfully into my life. And as you become older and more experienced and gain more wisdom, it may be that you become a mentor for kind of the next generation. And again, next generation, not necessarily by age, but by that whole thing when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah, I think the operative word there is wisdom. I think a lot of times people think a mentor is a technical teacher. And I don't really think that's true, especially when it comes to things that are involve judgment. If you really think about what investing is exercising good judgment. You take in facts, you view opportunities, you are adjusting to a ever-changing dynamic in a landscape, and then you are making decisions about which way to go, what to say yes to, what to say no to. And so much of it is a mindset. That's why I talk about this idea of needing to have proximity, needing to have a lot of communication, needing to have some way to be able to pick up the nuances of how somebody processes information, why they make the decisions they make, what they've gleaned from the things they've learned in their life in terms of real world experience. We talk about that on the show all the time, and especially in our syndication program, we talk all the time about the importance of things being real world. There's just nuances of things that you pick up when you've actually lived it out in the real world. And so I think one of the most important aspects of having a great mentor is finding somebody that's actually doing it and had success in the real world, and also somebody that you can get some proximity to so that you can begin to pick up the subtleties of how they think and why they do what they do, and not just the technical knowledge that they have. A lot of times the best mentors aren't great technical teachers, but like Kenny McElroy, I'm not going to say Kenny's not a good teacher, but I think the real greatness in Ken McElroy when you're around him is things just fall out of his mouth that are brilliant. These little sayings that he says that he's picked up from years and years of doing the business, and he'll say something and you're like, wow, that's really powerful. He doesn't even know it's a quote, but it is.
You know, that's a great point. And I would say that experience is the thing that is necessary for someone to be a mentor. You can't be a book mentor. Oh, I read about that. I studied that. I mean, you can certainly fill your life with people that have studied and have read and have, you know, academic credit and all that. But a mentor is a person that's got seat knowledge. They've been there. They've done it. They understand it at a deep cellular level almost, which is different than reading a textbook about it or going to a class. Not that a mentor might not hold a class or a clinic, but for the most part, I think mentor relationships kind of evolve. And specifically what our listener asked is, what do we feel about these paid mentorship programs versus finding a mentor kind of naturally? And so before we delve into that, I think one of the distinctions to make is the difference between a mentor and a coach. They're two different things, and they're both maybe really valid, and at different times of your career, you may need one or both of these roles to be filled. But a mentor generally has a long-term relationship that supports you in your development. They're interested, but they're not financially tied necessarily to your results. They have the experience that you need, and you can provide value to them to create a great relationship. And we'll get talking about that and how that might work before we're done. Whereas a coach really is a finite duration, a coaching relationship, and it's focusing on specific behaviors and needs. Think of a sports coach that watches you perform, say a golf swing, and then says, now, try it this way, try it that way. You're doing this. Did you notice you put your foot here? They can step back and coach you through the changes you need to make specifically to that activity. A mentor is different than that. A mentor, as you talked about, Russ, has the skills and wisdom, but also those myriad things that you would never be able to even articulate that have just come from years and years of practice.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I think of a coach, I think of somebody who's going to teach me technique and hold me accountable, give me feedback that I need to hear. And that's fine. And to your point, Robert, then at the end of it, there's some period of time I've reached a level of proficiency. And I suppose that's true in an apprenticeship role. When you're working with a mentor, they're going to take you up to a level. And at some point, you know, you're ready to move on or move up, or you become peers, or however that works out. But I go back to this notion of wisdom. And wisdom is, to me, the essence of what you're seeking in a mentor, is trying to understand how to make great decisions. And it's hard to coach wisdom. Wisdom is something you pick up, you glean it, it's almost like by osmosis. You pick it up by being in proximity to people. So there's definitely a difference between a coach and a mentor. And I think that you have to have both. And obviously a coach can be a mentor too, and some of the best ones are. And often a mentor is a coach, but they're not exactly the same thing. And you probably want to make sure that you have both bases covered, even if you need more people on the bus to get it done.
Now, I like the proximity idea. For you to really get this osmosis, you have to spend time around a mentor. Having said that, a lot of folks give credit to mentors who they've actually never met, someone they've followed for years, someone they've listened to or read or seen video on, and they develop some of the skill sets and some of their thinking by watching and modeling these folks. So I would say I'm with you that the best mentor relationships are where you spend solid time with somebody, but that's not necessary for the role to have the same effect on you. You know, one of my great mentors in life was a gentleman named Jim Rohn, and I had the great opportunity to spend time with Jim, sometime in big groups, sometime in small groups, and a few times one-on-one. But he affected my thinking by the words and by the sharing of wisdom, not necessarily one-on-one. On the other hand, I've had mentors in my life that have been very hands-on, and, you know, we've had a relationship and we've worked together and I've tried to support them and gleaned those things you've talked about. So a mentor is someone that can have a great effect on you. I think maybe before we break, let's just cover some of the roles of a mentor. You know, what can a mentor, or should a mentor, be expected to do for you?
Yeah, just jumping on that last point, I totally agree. Tom Hopkins, one of my great mentors, I didn't get a chance to meet him until decades after he had impacted my life, but I spent hours and hours and hours with him by listening to his tapes over and over and over again. I mean, I knew his voice, I knew his inflections, I knew his nuances, I understood his sense of humor. I'm sure many people listening to us feel like they know us, even though we've never met. We get that all the time when people come out to a live event. They're like, oh, I feel like I know you. I've been listening to you forever. So proximity is really this concept of speaking into somebody's life. That's really what a mentor does. Obviously, it's easier to do when they can observe you and give you contextual feedback, but you can certainly just listen to people who have found a way, a medium, if you will, to be able to express themselves and speak that into your life. So I just thought I'd tack that on.
I think one of the roles a mentor has is to kind of be an example. Now, it doesn't mean you want to be exactly like your mentor necessarily, but they live in a way, they make decisions in a way, they approach problems in a way that you're going to be able to learn from if you can tap into that. And so certainly a role model, if you will, is a mentor can kind of show you through the way they act and behave something for your consideration, as opposed to a coach who's going to tell you specifically what to do. My experience with mentors is some of my mentors have been helpful in giving me some ideas specifically that I can put into practice, but most, it's been more about learning by observation, by being around them, by seeing the way they react under pressure, the real world part you were talking about, Russ.
Yeah, and I think what you just talked about, seeing them under pressure, how people react to the real life stresses, that, you know, Blair Singer says all the time, when emotions run high, intelligence runs low. And so you can have all the technical training in the world, but if you don't have the ability to marshal that training and stay focused and bring that experience to bear, it doesn't matter. You know, one of my favorite football players of all time is Joe Montana. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area at the time when the 49ers were in their prime and they were winning all those Super Bowls and they were the dynasty of the 80s. And that one second Super Bowl when they went up against the Cincinnati Bengals for the second time, and, you know, Montana had to throw that touchdown pass in the final 2 minutes of the game after something, I think it was like a 90-yard drive. And how cool he was under pressure. He wasn't the most gifted athlete, but he had the ability to get 100% out of what he had available to work with because he was cool under pressure. I don't know how he did it. I don't know what it was about his personality. Joe Montana's not the kind of guy that put his thoughts and ideas out there. He didn't record things, didn't write books that I'm aware of. For the most part, doesn't speak a bunch. And so I don't know what it is that goes on inside his head that made him so cool, but it was magical. And if you have an opportunity to get around a guy like that, I'm sure any quarterbacks that had an opportunity to be around Joe play. I think, you know, Steve Young turned out to be another Hall of Fame quarterback, and he spent years and years backing up Joe Montana. I'm not saying that Steve owes his success to Joe, but I bet it helped. And that's what happens when you get a chance to hang around people. So seeing people under pressure and seeing how they manage their emotions to be able to access all of their resources, that's a big, big part of what you're looking for in a mentor.
We're talking today about finding a mentor, how you might vet a mentor, and ultimately thriving under a mentor. We'll have more discussion when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you looking to create sustainable wealth through agricultural real estate? Then look no further than Agro Nosotros. They're a sustainable specialty agriculture company with specialty coffee farming operations in Panama and fine flavor organic chocolate operations in Belize. Over the last 4 years, they've helped ordinary people to diversify outside of traditional real estate and into offshore agricultural real estate. They don't have your typical tenants, termites, and troubles. Their tenants are trees, and they grow and produce two hugely popular and proven products, coffee and chocolate. Through Agro Nosotros, you can own half-acre parcels in your very own specialty coffee or organic cacao farm, turnkey managed on your behalf, that produce passive cash flow for you and your heirs. And you can feel good about where you put your money to work. Agro Nosotros has socially sustainable programs that provide living wages, improved accommodations, and a steady channel to market to literally hundreds of farmers. And so far, they've placed 61 kids in school. To find out more and see how you can get involved, email agro@realestateguysradio.com. That's agro, A-G-R-O, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, this is Gene from the Residential Assisted Living Academy. Making money, cash flow, is important. Doing it for the right reasons with a heart is even more important. If you'd like to learn more about turning a single family home into a cash flow machine, earning $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 net or more per month, well, I'd like to share that with you. Our motto is do good and do well. There is a silver tsunami of seniors coming, and you have a huge opportunity. Take advantage of it.
To gain access to an informational webinar presented by certified financial planner and real estate entrepreneur Gene Guarino and discover how you can turn a nice home in a nice neighborhood into a cash flow machine, send an email to ALF, A-L-F, at realestateguysradio.com. That's A-L-F at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Peter Schiff, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station and all the time at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for tuning into the show today. Had a question on Ask the Guys last week about finding a mentor, and do you pay for a mentor, and what types of people make great mentors. We thought, you know what? More than just answering that question, let's do a show about it because it's been critical in our success. In fact, before we're done, we'll share some stories of mentor relationships that we've had, and I think it'll illustrate a lot of different points. But, you know, we were talking before the break about the role of a mentor, and part of the squishiness of it is that there is no defined set of criteria or roles or things that a mentor needs to do. It's more about seeking that wisdom and finding someone you can relate to. You relate to not necessarily everything that they do or how they show up, or maybe even the niches if it's a real estate investor that they follow, but someone who you could see yourself following in the footsteps of. I want to be an investor that has this kind of impact. I want to be an investor that makes these kinds of strategic investments. And who can I find that's already ahead of me? And that's really what it's about. You know, the example you gave of Joe Montana and Steve Young, I'm sure that a lot of what Steve Young was successful at was set up because of Joe Montana and his reign. It was up to Steve to continue that, but being set up for it is a part of that. And that's this idea of getting around folks. You know, there's a lot of people that believe they can learn everything they need to learn on the internet, in webinars, on podcasts, and read books, and they go out and do it. But that's not my experience. My experience is that's a great starting point, But you've got to get into conversations with people that have been there, done that in the real world, and can speak that wisdom we've been talking about into your life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of that. And one of the things I think when you look out for the kind of people that you need to align with, it's very tempting to align with people that are just like you. But the problem with that is often you want to align with people that are a little bit different than you. I've done that in my business life, all of my business life. I know what my weakness is. I tend to be a planner. I tend to be an organizer. I tend to do a lot of research and analysis. I like to measure three times before I cut. And for a lot of people, that is a strength. And people look at me and they have respect for me because I have that level of discipline and diligence. But at the same time, while I'm doing that, there are people out there who just are jumping out there making things happen and learn by doing. And I've recognized that I need to be better at starting. And so I've always aligned myself with people like you, Robert, who tend to be fast starters, because that pulls me out on the dance floor. It forces me to overcome my natural inhibitions. And I also learn about how to be more of a starter myself by being around people. I had a lot of consumer mentality when I first started in business. I didn't understand about investing. I always thought in terms of saving. And so every time I had an opportunity to cut costs and to save money, I would do that. The problem is I wasn't making strategic investments in business. I was trying to save my way to prosperity. You can't do that in business. You have to put capital out there to work. And I started thinking about money differently. Instead of thinking about money as something that was to be hoarded, I started looking at it like a resource that needed to be expended like fuel in order to produce results, and that I found out it was a renewable resource if you did it right. That mindset alone was life-changing for me. And so if you're the type of person who has a hard time getting things over the line, then you want to get around people. Like my wife is someone, she's a finisher. She's the type of person that can't go to bed at night until the kitchen is completely clean, everything's put away. Man, when I get done eating at night and I just want to sit down and relax, the last thing I want to do is get up and put everything away. I'm the kind of guy that goes to bed and there's stuff all over my desk, and I wake up in the morning and clean my desk up and have it clear so I can be focused to go to work. It's a very different style, but I would prefer to be the type of person that was better at finishing. And so by being around her, I've improved. I'm still not good at it. But I do think that when you're looking at yourself, you have to be brutally honest. I mean, Jim Collins in Good to Great says you got to confront the brutal facts. You have to look at yourself. You have to say, okay, what is it about me and my personality that's holding me back? Where am I not being effective? How could I be better? And you have to realize you're wired a certain way, and your weakness is also your strength. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But at the same time, you will find that you can begin to balance yourself out and become more effective by getting into relationships and surrounding yourself with people. And a lot of these people will mentor you simply by their example, who are strong in areas where you would like to improve. And so that's a way to be strategic in terms of thinking who you need to put in your life, because we only have time in our lives for so many relationships. And so we have to decide who we're going to have in our life. And yeah, you know, we don't want to value every single human relationship we have by simply what we can get from it. And then the flip side of that is realizing that to get into those types of relationships, you got to bring something to the party. I'd like to believe, Robert, in our years together, I've brought something to compensate you for what you've brought to me. And those are the type of equitable relationships I look for. I've considered you a mentor in our entire 17, 18 years, however long it's been that we've been together. I continue to learn. I knew nothing about radio. I knew nothing about media. I knew very little about the seminar business. You've taught me all that. And in your approach to real estate investing and being a starter and a risk taker and a more experienced entrepreneur and all that stuff came to affect me because I just had a chance to work with you, and I, you know, did my best to bring something to the party so that we would be able to have an equitable relationship. And I think that that's an important part of being in a mentoring relationship with people. You can both be a mentor and have a mentor in the same relationship, depending if you're personalities are offsetting enough that there's balance.
Well, absolutely. And you bring up a great point, which is a mentorship isn't a one-way relationship. You may not be each other's mentors, or you may be, but if you're not, there still has to be some equitable balance. And how do you add value to the relationship? If you're that young, green, wet behind the ears, don't know much and want to get around people, how do you develop a mentor? Well, I think part of it is that when you seek out the right types of people, once people have had a level of success, they generally do fill part of their lives, ambition and fulfillment, with this idea of giving back in some way. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's all benevolent, but there is a joy that people have. And I watch my dad, the godfather of real estate, right? He's been invested in 7 different decades, about to be 8 different decades. And he's a guy who gets his primary thrill in life these days watching the lights go on for other people, helping other people get to the point where they'll get the benefit of real estate. He's an evangelist for real estate investing, especially to folks like him who are in the trade of real estate, you know, brokers, agents, people helping other people. And that's just kind of his passion. Well, as you become this person who's getting this insight, you can pay it forward. That's one way that you can add value, but there's other ways to add value to the relationship. And, you know, early on when we first met, you found several different ways to add value to the relationship. Back when you were starting the mortgage business and I was in the real estate sales business, and I had a lot of mortgage relationships. So you had to find a way in the door that was not what everybody else did. And that may be the way that you brainstorm and come up with what could be a value add to the mentor you have in mind. How can you add value to their life? And you have to think about what they need, because it's not the same thing that you need.
Well, and I think the other thing that's important about that, Robert, is you have to be good at finding a way to add value, because many of the people you would like to be your mentors aren't offering organized, purchasable mentoring programs. You weren't. If I wanted to learn the seminar business, if I wanted to learn real estate investing from you, I had to find a way to buy my way into a relationship with you when you weren't offering that as a service. So that question comes up a lot. Should I pay? Should I not pay? Well, if a great mentor is offering a paid service, then that's an easy way to get in the door. You don't have to be that creative. You just have to have some money. Now, if you don't have any money, or if the person you want to get into a mentoring relationship with isn't offering it as a service, it doesn't mean that they're not available to you. It just means you need to be more creative. It's the same thing in real estate. People say all the time, well, how can I buy any real estate? I don't have any money. Well, that doesn't matter. It just means you have to be more creative. This is the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. And so don't be dissuaded or discouraged just because you can't afford some of the mentoring programs that are being offered out there. There may be plenty of great mentors all around you. You just need to be creative about looking at the world through that person's eyes and asking yourself, what is it that they need and how can I find a way to help them get it in a way that puts me into a relationship with them where I will be getting what I need, whether they even know they're giving it to me or not, because I just want to be around that person. And so we have a lot of people that find ways to do that. We've got people in our program that have added value to our lives, and we've been able to share tips with them and give them access to us. And, you know, some of them pay us because we have a mentoring program, and others don't. And that's fine too. But they all find a way to add value. And that's really the key. And you're going to want to do the same thing when you're looking for people to mentor you.
We're talking about how you can get the right mentor or mentors in your life. We'll continue the discussion about, do I find one organically or pay for a mentor when we come back? We'll also play Real Estate Trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation. And our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Homebuyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating for the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Ken McElroy. I listen to The Real Estate Guys, and so should you.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. Hey, if you'd like better sales skills, better ability to persuade and influence, then it's time to get off the dime and get signed up for How to Win Funds and Influence People. It's our annual sales event. It only happens once a year. It's a two-day immersive role-playing process, and you're going to dig it. Coming up shortly, all you have to do is go to the website at realestateguysradio.com. Click the tab that says Events and look for How to Win Funds and Influence People. We're talking today about finding a mentor, thriving with a mentor relationship. Before we get back to our discussion, it's time to play real estate trivia. Your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. Now, you might think it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to come up with a real estate trivia question about this topic, but I will prove that theory wrong in just a second. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, you're going to send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, your mailing address, because if you win, we're going to send you a physical prize. It's a great book called Purpose, Passion, and Profit, a series of great stories from leaders that have learned from all kinds of things in their lives. You're going to dig this book. It could be yours. If you know today's real estate trivia question, last week on the show was Ask the Guys, and we asked this: how many countries border Germany? There's a real estate trivia question for you. How many different countries border Germany? If you know anything about that part of the world, you know Germany kind of sits in the middle of a bunch of countries. In fact, Germany shares its borders with 9 different countries. By the way, they're Denmark, Poland, the Czech Republic, Austria, Switzerland, France, Luxembourg, Belgium, and the Netherlands. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. The James A. Garfield National Historic Site, which includes a home from which Garfield conducted the first successful front porch campaign for the presidency, is located in a city named Mentor. Here's the question. In what state is Mentor located? The city of Mentor. Now, there is more than one city of Mentor in the United States and maybe in other places, but this particular city of Mentor is the home of the James A. Garfield National Historic Site and home. What state is it in? If you know or just want to guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, and the answer to the question. The first person that gets it right is going to get this great book, Purpose, Passion, and Profit. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about the role a mentor can play in your life, and how do you find a mentor? Where do you go to get a mentor? And one of the ways you can get a mentor is to hire one. Now, it's not the same as hiring a coach. Again, a lot of coaching programs, and we're big believers in having coaches, especially at seasons in your life and for specific things you want to get done. But a mentor role tends to be kind of different than that. It's a little bigger. It's a little less specific, perhaps. But there are organized mentoring programs. In fact, the listener that wrote the question to us said, you know, I'm hesitant to pay money to this program because I've heard some negative things. Well, I think it's smart and prudent to check out the reviews, if you will, of any type of program that you're considering spending money on. But do understand that, especially when it comes to coaching and mentoring, the results people get have a lot more to do with how they react to the advice and strategies and ideas they get from coaches and mentors, in my opinion, than the program. So it's folks that decide, well, I'm going to hire a mentor or a coach, and then they don't do the things that mentor or coach suggests, and they say, oh, the program's terrible. I just take that with a grain of salt. If you're hearing a lot of negativity, well, then maybe it's not the program for you. But I would say this, and then I know Russ is going to have an opinion on it. I would say probably in my personal experience, the best mentors I've had, I've figured out organically. Here's the challenge with it. It takes a long time. to be in the right environment, to meet the right person, to figure out where there's an overlap and where you can add value and where they can speak into your life. To do all that takes time, lots of time. And what paying for a mentor does is collapses time frames.
Well, and it doesn't even, finding one on your own doesn't even save you money, because if you think about how many trips and how many events and how many social engagements and how much wandering around you have to spend actual money out of pocket just to find the people and then get into a relationship. You know, even though I didn't pay you to be my mentor, I put a lot of time and effort into getting into a relationship with you. And we've spent a lot of time and effort getting into many of the people who are our mentors today, getting into relationships with them. So even though we didn't pay them, we paid. And I think that's the point. So I think it actually is very efficient if you can find a great mentoring program that you can pay for, because it's there, it's easily found, it's easily understood, it's easily evaluated. You quickly can make the payment, you can go in and you can get started. And to your point, Robert, at the end of the day, it's a lot more about what you do than what they do. You know, when I would go out and interview for sales positions, and I didn't have to interview very often, but when I did, I would go out, and the biggest question to me was, I said, okay, I want to know, you know, how many sales reps do you have? And what is the guy at the bottom of the top 10%? What does he make? And what does the top guy make? Because I felt like, okay, the proven potential for this position is in the top guy. If I can be the top guy, I can make at least that. And if I can be better than him, I can make more. And then I felt like, okay, the minimum I'm going to make is whatever the guy at the bottom in the top 10% is doing, because I'm going to be in the top 10%. In other words, I didn't care what happened in the bottom 90, even though the majority of people made less than I wanted to make, didn't matter to me, because I wasn't going to be one of those people. That's a mindset. And when you make up your mind that you're going to be successful, it doesn't matter what the majority experiences. It only matters what the people at the top experience if you're committed to being a top player. If you're looking to be average and ordinary, if you're looking to be middle pack, if you're looking to just go with the flow and hope that wearing the uniform is going to win you a championship, you might get a trophy being on the team, but you're not going to get a paycheck. If that makes sense. You get a lot of people that come into these programs and they're groupies, and they come around and they do everything except what needs to be done. They show up everywhere. They dress right. They talk right. They know the answers to everything, but they don't go do what they need to be done. You know, Stephen Pressfield in his book, Turning Pro, talks a lot about resistance, talks about shadow careers, talks about all the excuses that we make for ourselves to get off the hook from doing the thing that we really need to do, to laying it on the line and going for it. And this goes back to this idea, when you're around winners, when you're around people that are high performers, when you're around people that are ambitious and driven, they behave and they think a certain way. Maybe somebody listening to that thought, you know, I'm in sales. It would have never occurred to me to talk about the top 10%. I kind of wanted to know what the average is. Well, who the heck wants to be average? I mean, I get a lot of passion on that, because I see people that want to take the responsibility off themselves for their personal results. I've had success and I've had failure, but I own both of them. In other words, I'm proud of my success, and I'm proud of my skills and my ability and my drive and the things that I do right. And I'm equally own, and I guess embarrassed of, I suppose would be the word, of where I failed. But I don't sweep any of it under the rug. It's all part of the process. And would I have liked to have done better? Sure. If I could go back and live my life again, could I have done better knowing what I know now? Absolutely. But it is what it is, and all I have is the future going forward. So if you're listening to this, wherever you are, if you're the type of person that's listened this far into an episode like this because you're thinking to yourself, I need to change my life, I am looking for an answer, maybe a mentor can help me, then I'd be less concerned about what the majority of the people in any program are experiencing, and ask yourself, what are the people who are at the top doing, and how can I be more like them? Because the environment, I mean, if you look at the world, we all get 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Most of all of the opportunities in the world are all available to everybody pretty equally, as long as you live someplace that's free, maybe where you have internet access and the freedom to travel. So you don't have to have a lot to be able to find opportunity. If there's anybody in the environment you're in that's having success, even if they're one in 10,000 or one in 100,000, then you know it's possible. Tony Robbins says success leaves clues. And your job in looking for mentors is looking for those successful people, even if they're the minority, and they're always going to be the minority, and focusing your time and attention on studying them and how did they achieve their success in the very same environment I'm in. So when you go look at a mentoring program, if there's people that are having success, then your mission is to get into the environment and then do what those people did. And it starts with think the way those people think, because if you begin to think the way they think, you will begin to do what they do, and ultimately that will lead you to the results that they've produced. You can produce them too.
That's a critical point, to see where other people that have come before you have what they've done, how they've been able to react to the coaching and the training. And, you know, maybe it's a reference, but moreover, it's just watching and observing. And many of the programs where someone is, you know, offering a mentorship, you can find out what all the details are. You know, are there meetings or calls, or what does that part of it look like? And that's beyond the scope of today to talk about. But just make sure you're clear on the commitments. You know, so we probably should just get this off the table, so no one's wondering, is there a big pitch at the end? You know, you mentioned our mentoring program. You've probably never heard us talk about our mentoring program, not very much on the show, because it's not available to the general public. We have a very strategic mentoring program on a very specific part of real estate investing, and it's only made available to a small number of people. And because our role model, you and I aren't coaches, we don't get on, you know, all these one-on-one calls with people, we don't tell people what to do, just like on the show, we don't give advice, we give ideas and information, but we do have some specific background that lets us provide a mentoring role, and it's for a specific duration. And we can point to tremendous success of our mentees and tremendous failure, both in the same program. We have one gentleman, you've heard him on the show, who was in our program for 3 years and has gone on to raise more than $100 million for syndication. That's the area of real estate that we specialize in, real estate syndication. We've also had people that have quit the program broke. So it's really going to be up to you, but be realistic about the time commitment, about the money commitment. We do an interview with these folks, and then we don't decide who gets in the program. Our students do, and that holds us accountable, holds them accountable. But one of the questions you always ask in that interview, Russ, is about the support they have. Do they have the financial support? Do they have the family support, the business support? And that's the other part you have to think through, is do you have what it takes to be a great mentee? We're talking about finding a mentor. We've got some more thoughts when we come back. Plus, we'll share some ideas that we've learned from our great mentors over the years. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from July 5th to 8th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 13 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful, the people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2018 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is starting off strong. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate, including both long-term and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And at Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me July 5th through 8th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so you can follow up with them after the trip if the market's interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Events, where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize, July 5th through 8th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under Events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, I'm Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Listen up.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. If you've ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money, then come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication. Happens at the end of September in Dallas, Texas. You'll get all the details on the website at realestateguysradio.com under Events. We're talking about a subject near and dear to our hearts, and that is finding, vetting, and thriving with a mentor. And there are so many great ways that you can put yourself in a position to win. And when you can get wisdom and insight from someone that has been there before and has the right perspective, it can be huge. We have had in our life many, many mentors. You mentioned Tom Hopkins. My first week in real estate, my dad took me to see Tom Hopkins, and it changed my life. Today, Tommy's a great friend. He comes with us every single year on the Investors Summit at Sea. He's our buddy, and it's amazing how much we've learned, specifically in sales. That's what he did. If you come out to How to Win Funds and Influence People, you'll get a lot of that from what Russ has gleaned from mentors like Tom Hopkins. So it's a great example of this pay it forward or pebble in the water, where you learn from people and from places about sales, put it to use, try it out what worked, what didn't, and now do this incredible two-day event on consultative selling, sitting across the table from somebody. And so much of that material comes from your mentors, just like the goals retreat that I do at the beginning of the year. So much of that is quote-unquote researched from my mentors in these areas. So you can take these concepts and really do something with it. I know that one of the mentors that we share, if you will, is our dads. Your dad was a mentor to you. My dad was a mentor to me. Maybe you can talk about that, Russ, because you had a very successful father in a very particular area, and you were able to learn a ton from that, even though you didn't exactly follow in his footsteps.
Well, you know, you laugh all the time that when you grow up, you become your parents. And, you know, my dad grew up in the Philippines. His father was a guerrilla fighter during the Japanese occupation. My grandmother and her children snuck out of Japan in the middle of World War II by boat, and they immigrated to the United States. My dad got a scholarship to Stanford University, dropped out, and I think that's probably because I came along. But ultimately, he went into high tech, and he did what he had to do to raise a family. And when the kids got a little bit older, he decided to take that entrepreneurial leap, and he started a high tech company. He raised lots of money. In fact, he was on the front page of the San Jose Mercury News in the early 80s, having raised more venture capital money for a startup semiconductor company than any other company in the history of Silicon Valley up to that time. Eventually took the company public. And so as I got older and I began to observe his life, my dad, I would say, is not a great teacher. He doesn't spend a lot of time teaching. In fact, he had a philosophy about basically leaving me to my own devices to figure life out. And early in my life, I resented that because I felt like he had so much to give that he didn't give me. But what he gave me was even more important, and that was the freedom to connect the dots on my own. My dad's a thinker. He's a strategist. And he's a historian, and he's a lover of liberty, and he's a businessman. And I look at my life, and everything he was, I became. And he never, ever said a word to me. He just led by example. And then when I finally got old enough to really begin to struggle, and that's what happens, is when you decide to step out and start going for stuff. And I would go to him, say, Dad, will you teach me? He would. And he spent an entire summer, the summer of 1999, with me going back and forth, helping me write my first business plan. I was already making a lot of money. And I said, Dad, I'll pay you. I mean, I'll pay you $5,000 to write my business plan for me. He wouldn't do it. He goes, if I write the plan, then it's my plan. It's not your plan. And when you get up every day to run your business, you're going to do what's in your heart. When you go through the hard work of writing this plan, it will be in your heart. You're going to put it on the shelf. You'll probably never look at it again, but it will be inside you and you will live it out. He was so right. He was so right. And that's why when people come and they say, well, would you write a plan for me? Would you help me create my marketing strategy? No, we're not going to do that for you because it will cripple you. It will make you weak. And see, a great mentor doesn't teach you what you want to learn or the way you want to learn it. A great mentor knows exactly what you need and knows exactly how you what you have to go through to get there. And then they create an environment for that to happen. They can't make it happen for you. You have to make it happen. So I had ambition. I had the drive, but he created an environment, which was really more of a vacuum than anything else, to allow me to grow to the point where I was ready to go really ask the questions and do the work. I learned so much about teaching and mentorship from him, even though you would never look at my dad and go, oh, he's a teacher and he's a mentor. But he was brilliant. He was brilliant at it. And that was had such a profound impact on me, both in business and just in my life. I wish I would have waited longer to have children because I felt like I could have been a far better father if I would have just grown up a little bit more. I was a young father and I made a lot of mistakes. But my dad, I think, really, and he was a young father too. I mean, he was younger than I was when he first had his first child, me. So that's not a good excuse. But he just had it figured out. So that was very powerful for me, both in business and in my personal life.
Well, anyone who's listened to our show for any period of time knows my dad. He's been a huge influence in my life. And in growing up, you know, we had real estate and I kind of figured out, hey, that's kind of cool. It's kind of passive. And I got the bug and you know, obviously he's been a mentor in both the sales of real estate and investing. So I guess with Father's Day coming up, hats off to our dads. And you may have people in your family. Maybe it's not your mom or your dad. Maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's a shirt sleeve relative. Maybe there's someone that could speak into your life in this way or has. So consider that. You know, when I started in real estate development, I had a great mentor. And if you come out to the syndication event, you hear kind of the short version of that story. But an even shorter version is I invested passively with a group to do some development. And I was just really interested in the topic. So I hung around. And this gentleman, Jonathan, just took me under his wing and showed me and explained and by example led. And boy, talk about collapsing timeframes. Now, if I had decided instead I wanted to get a college degree in development, then I wanted to read every book on real estate development, then I wanted to go to, you know, the city and the land works and learn all the parts of development there, then I wanted to go out and meet developers. And I mean, that could have taken 10 years. And instead, in a period of about 2 years, I got the most tremendous real-world hands-on education. The exchange of value was I was investing in his projects, but it took on so much more than that. And that's really the point. With a mentor, you're looking for a synergy. You're looking for a path forward that has each person better off for the relationship. We could go on and on, but we've run out of time. So big thanks to our listener who submitted the question we talked about last week. You never know what's going to happen when you send a question to Ask the Guys. And you can do that on the website at realestateguysradio.com. But figure out in your own life where it is that you might be able to benefit and then how can you provide value, whether it's through a structured program or just organically. Mentors and coaches and folks that have been before can provide tremendous value as we continue to be better. And our motto at the Real Estate Guys has always been education for effective action. And what we really do is we collapse time frames. So hopefully a mentor can not only save you time, but make your life better, and you can then turn around and become a mentor to the next generation. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.